Good evening, and thank you for joining us here at KMXT 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station. A bit on the weather at present. It is fair, 34 degrees Fahrenheit here in Kodiak. It looks like a lovely day today. For today, mostly sunny with a high near 38, a west wind of 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, a 10% chance of snow showers after 4 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 30, a west wind around 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Saturday, a 20% chance of snow showers before 10 a.m., mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 35, a west wind of 15 to 20 miles per hour, increasing to 20 to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 30 miles per hour. Saturday night will be windy, mostly clear with a low around 29, a northwest wind of 25 to 30 miles per hour with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 42, a southwest wind of 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Sunday night, a chance of snow before 1 a.m., then a chance of rain between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 36, a southeast wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming southwest in the evening. Chance of precipitation is 30%.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. A new Georgia law is prompting a scathing indictment from the White House today, less than 24 hours after Governor Brian Kemp signed a sweeping overhaul of Georgia elections, including new voting restrictions. President Biden blasted state Republicans, saying their actions amounted to Jim Crow in the 21st century.
It's an atrocity. The idea, if you want any indication that it has nothing to do with fairness, nothing to do with decency, they pass a law saying you can't provide water for people standing in line while they're waiting to vote. You don't need anything else to know that this is nothing but punitive, designed to keep people from voting.
The president speaking to reporters before boarding Marine One to head for Delaware for the weekend. The White House also says it's deeply concerned that a black state lawmaker in Georgia has been arrested on charges of obstruction of law enforcement and disruption of the General Assembly after she knocked on the door of the governor's private office as he was delivering televised remarks. State Representative Mark Cannon was released from jail last night. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says COVID-19 cases are starting to climb again and the nation could face another surge if people let down their guard. Here's NPR's Richard Harris.
At a White House briefing, Walensky said that the average daily case count of COVID-19 has recently increased about 7%, and hospital admissions are also starting to climb slightly. About 1,000 people a day continue to die. She said she's deeply concerned about this trajectory.
And we know from prior surges that if we don't control things now, there is a real potential for the epidemic curve to soar again.
She acknowledged that many Americans are weary of the epidemic, but she said that it is still important to take precautions, such as wearing masks, a bit longer until a large share of the public is vaccinated. Richard Harris, NPR News.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is visiting Birmingham this afternoon to speak with Amazon workers hoping to form a union. Stephen Basaha with member station WBHM reports that the nearly two-month-long union vote will end next week.
Sanders will be joined by rapper Killer Mike and actor Danny Glover. Back in February, Glover met with union organizers in Bessemer, Alabama, and Sanders sent pizzas for a rally. This time, the three men will talk with workers at the Birmingham office for the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. Monday is the last day for the nearly 6,000 Amazon workers in Bessemer to mail in their votes on forming a union. Results tabulated by the National Labor Relations Board are expected sometime next week, and a challenge to the count from Amazon or the union is likely. If a majority of those voting do say yes, it will be one of the largest union victories in the South in the last decade. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Basaha in Birmingham.
The Dow's closed up 1.3%. This is NPR.
When Diane Million opened Million Recipes in early February, she was optimistic about her new business. She's found that that optimism was vindicated.
We're doing really well. As a food truck, we made it easy for people to get food and not have to worry about dining in or walking in somewhere to get takeout. We also offered something different where we have sandwiches all day long, but then each night, starting at 5, we have a unique dinner. It was supposed to be different every night, hence the million recipes. not just a play on the last name. But through social networks, we get many of our dinners requested for a second, third, and even a fourth time, which is kind of exciting. It makes me feel good that people like our recipes and our food.
Millian says she's just getting started, however. Her ultimate aim is to bring a local-first culinary experience to Kodiak.
Resourcing as local as possible. One of my favorite books is The 100-Mile Diet. I think we are totally capable of doing that here. And ultimately, as of right now, I receive local produce from the high school and from Brightbox. I also utilize the beer at the brewery for our beer cheese and our beer-battered fish and chip night.
She thinks that she can do better, though, and she sees projects like the proposed Gibson Cove revitalization as the perfect solution.
That's my dream. That's my passion. And I am a bit of an activist on it. I speak to anyone who will listen, like how great it would be to revitalize Gibson Cove, because it's an area that we could just do so much with. We sat down and talked about it the other night, and we were just brainstorming, and it would be great to have that animal, seafood, and kelp processing facility on the water.
Millian says that she feels that her business has been able to thrive so well during the pandemic because of its unique location and concept.
I think we weather it better than most, only because you almost have the option here. The food truck is nicely placed right here in the brewery parking lot, so you can go into the Kodiak Island Brewing Company and order a beer after ordering your meal, and you could actually dine inside if you choose. Or if you choose to dine at home, you can just order, and you know, if people want to wait in their car, that's fine.
In spite of the pandemic and economic hardships of the past year, Millian still chose to open her business in 2021, although not without some anxiety. But she says that Kodiak was more than supportive.
I would encourage anyone, if that's their passion and it's their dream, do it. This island is amazing. People are so supportive. The compliments, the comments, the reviews, everything that everyone has said, just it's uplifting. And I've never been more happy to have accomplished establishing the food truck. I can't tell you how many nights of sleep I lost, worried if I was making the right decision.
And she thinks that the risks for small business owners in town are worth it. Last year's salmon harvest across all species in Southeast Alaska was one of the worst in 50 years. KSDK's Sage Smiley spoke with Southeast's regional fishery supervisor about last season and hopes for the coming year.
A special report released in March paints a stark picture of 2020's salmon harvest in Southeast Alaska.
Overall, it was one of the lowest harvests we've seen in, I think, since the 70s.
Lowell Fair is the Southeast Regional Supervisor for the Commercial Fisheries Division of ADF&G. It was already clear from preliminary reports that last year's salmon season was a rough one. But just how rough? For sockeye, the harvest was the second lowest since 1962. King harvest was in the bottom five harvests since the early 1960s as well. Coho and pink harvests came in stronger than kings and sockeye, but were still among the lowest years in recent memory. Fair says ADF&G doesn't have an answer for the almost 60% drop in salmon harvest between 2019 and 2020.
Marine survival is what our biggest guess would be, but that's always hard to pinpoint because we just don't have the funding to do the research to really look at those kinds of studies.
If there's a silver lining, it might be the forecast for 2021's pink harvest, which should be average. In its report, ADF&G doesn't forecast salmon returns to the region for any species besides pinks. That's because it's the only species they have enough data on.
There's just so much uncertainty already in survival, and when you have uncertainty in the data, then that makes it just problematic to begin with.
Fair adds that F&G manages all five species based on what comes back.
We just don't have the money to research, you know, why that amount came back.
But the numbers Fish and Game does have say pinks should come in a bit better than last year.
You know, overall, we're expecting a better return run next year to Southeast.
with some digging, putting together forecasts from hatcheries, sport fisheries, and intergovernmental partnerships with Canada, Fair says 2021 might just be better for all five species.
I mean, it was one of the lowest overall salmon harvests we had seen since, I think, the early 70s. So I would hope so. You know, and not only was that the case, but prices were down, and so it was really tough on fishermen.
ADF&G hasn't finalized ex-vessel prices for salmon in Southeast last year. Preliminary reports show about a 30% decrease in per-pound price for sockeye, pink, and chum compared to 2019, and a slight rise in price for kings and coho. The combined low catches and low prices led Southeast communities to seek a disaster declaration for the 2020 salmon season. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Alaska lawmakers are considering sending a message to the federal government urging it to allow ships to bypass Canada on Alaska cruises this year. KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
Earlier this year, Canadian officials extended the country's ban on large cruise ships in the country's waters. That put the 2021 Alaska cruise season in doubt because U.S. law doesn't allow the foreign-flagged cruise ships that typically sail the Inside Passage to run domestic routes.
The Alaska visitors industry, particularly cruise tourism, is the cornerstone of Southeast Alaska's economy. Prior to the pandemic, Alaska had over 2.2 million visitors in 2019. Cruise ships bring roughly half of the visitors to our state.
Ketchikan Representative Dan Ortez recently told the House Transportation Committee that after a devastating 2020 with no cruise visitors, another season without the big ships could do lasting damage to the state's economy.
While many businesses were able to hibernate for 2020, the threat of no or limited business in 2021 could do irreparable harm.
So he and other state lawmakers are pushing for a resolution that would ask Congress and the Biden administration to allow large cruise ships to bypass a Canadian stop. The measure would add the legislatures to a growing chorus of voices calling for federal action, but would not carry the force of law. Alaska's congressional delegation has introduced a bill that would allow ships to skip calls in Canada, but that bill hasn't gone anywhere yet. Federal maritime law, though, isn't the only thing standing in the way of a 2021 Alaska cruise season. Even if Congress or the Biden administration were to waive the 19th century law that requires a foreign stop, the Federal Centers for Disease Control would need to sign off before cruise ships can start sailing from U.S. waters again. Juneau Democratic Senator Jesse Keel has championed the resolution in the Senate, and he told the House Transportation Committee that the measure would not pressure the CDC to allow cruises to resume.
So, Mr. Chairman, SJR 9 simply asks that that be a decision that Americans can make, that the CDC can make about safety, but that it not be, and again, for a short period, that it not be a decision we are forced into because of Canada's action with regard to their ports and waters.
Big Lake Republican Kevin McCabe said he's generally in support of the measure, but he said he's concerned about setting a bad precedent by waiving laws that protect the domestic shipping industry.
I'm very nervous that we allow the camel's nose under our tent, so to speak, by allowing foreign vessels to operate point-to-point in the United States.
Provincial officials in British Columbia have expressed similar concerns. Canadian media reports that some are worried that if cruise ships bypass Canada this summer, they might not return next year. But the authority to open or close Canada's ports to cruise ships rests with Canada's federal government, not BC's. Alaska lawmakers from both parties emphasize that the request is for temporary relief, not a permanent change. Shannon Adamson of the International Organization of Masters, Mates, and Pilots stopped short of opposing the resolution outright. But she pointed out that the state owns its own vessels that meet both CDC and federal maritime law requirements, Alaska Marine Highway System ferries.
We should be utilizing AMHS vessels that are currently tied up in Ketchikan to boost tourism in Southeast Alaska and help our communities through a difficult time.
She suggested the state could use the Columbia, which is currently scheduled for an overhaul over the summer. State Transportation Spokesperson Sam Dapsovich threw cold water on that idea. He says the Marine Highway System doesn't have enough crew members to operate the Columbia this summer. And besides, he says, based on current reservations, the state doesn't see a need to add the Columbia to the summer schedule. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
A group of Bering Sea crab fishermen say the pandemic has slowed them down and they want more time to catch their quota before the season ends in about a week. But the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has denied the request for an extension on the bear dyer tanner crab fishing season. As KUCB's Hope McKenney reports, for the few boats fishing bear dye this year, there could be a lot at stake if they don't have time to catch their full quota.
Oyston Lone is captain of the 98-foot crab boat Pacific Sounder. Until recently, he's been fishing in the Bering Sea for snow crab, also known as Opelio. But right now, he and his five-person crew have switched to fishing for a different type of crab called bear dye.
I'm thinking they don't quite understand what we're going through out here.
Both bear dye and snow crab seasons open at the same time. But Lone recently switched from fishing for snow crab to fishing for bear dye because that season is nearly over, even though as of Wednesday, only about half of the total quota had been caught.
The closure is looming on us here on March 31st for bear dye. So my ration was here to try to get Fish and Game to give us a month extension to help us out here and then keep us from switching back and forth in the middle of the season.
The department quickly denied formal requests by Lone and two other boats to extend the season, but Lone hasn't given up. He's still pushing for an extension to catch his full quota before switching back to snow crab. He says going back and forth between the fisheries has added stress, safety risks, extra fuel burn and gear work on top of an already long and difficult season amid the COVID-19 pandemic.
We have changed the way we do business too, and I think the whole industry has changed to adapt to this. Things are taking a lot longer to get done out here, and we're going to be pushing right up against the closure to get our business done here.
Because of bad weather, a fuel shortage that's forced him to travel hundreds of extra miles to fill up, and pandemic-related plant closures and delays, Lone is left with a lot of bear dye quota that he likely won't be able to catch.
Traditionally, right now, a lot of vessels would be heading to port and tying up and be done for the season, but most of us are still fishing here.
Lone says the problems he and his boat have experienced over the past few months will add as much as a month and a half to his fishing season. Bill Prout, who owns and operates the 116-foot crab boat Silver Spray out of Kodiak, is in a similar situation. What makes the looming closure especially stressful for him is that he has payments to make on quota that he owns and leases from others, and without catching all the crab, he might not be able to come up with the money. Prout says some of the people he's leasing from might understand the situation, but
they might still say, well, agreement's an agreement, and we could have to pay for crab that we didn't even catch, is the long and short of it.
While the crabbers are still pushing Fish and Game for an extension, it doesn't look like they're going to get one. Miranda Westfall is with the local Fish and Game office in Unalaska. She says after talking to industry groups and boat captains, her agency decided not to extend the fishing season for a number of reasons. The primary one is biological. Some crab species mate all year when they happen to come across each other on the seafloor. But bear dye gather together to molt and mate only during the early spring.
And this is the time of year that's really critical for the future of the stock. So it would have to be a pretty large emergency for us to justify, you know, fishing into that season.
Second, there just haven't been many harvest-sized bear dye crab in recent years. Because abundance is low and fishing is slow, Westfall says just 6 crab boats are currently fishing for bear dye in the western Bering Sea. The rest are focused on catching snow crab further north.
Even though we're sort of in this position that's really unfortunate, where boats are struggling, people are struggling due to COVID, and also abundance levels are low in the fishery, and it's sort of this really unfortunate coinciding of events right now. And, you know, we feel for our fishermen, we feel, you know, we wish things could be better, but we're very cautious about not sacrificing the future fisheries for current times.
Despite Fish and Game's rejection, Lone, the captain on the Pacific Sounder, says he's still pushing for an extension.
I'm going to fight to the last hour of this season to try to get an extension. So hopefully we can get one. I know they said no, but no means just another way to get a yes out of them for me. So we just have to keep fighting here and hope for the best.
Bear dye season is currently scheduled to end next week. In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKenney.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Alaska salmon is a small player in the global market. More after this.
Have fish in the freezer? Have it on the table in minutes with Azmi's new Cook It Frozen and hundreds of other recipes at WildAlaskaSeafood.com.
Alaska wild salmon accounts for only about 13% of the global supply, and competition will ramp up this year from other producers, notably Russia. Alaska is expected to produce a total catch this year, topping 190 million salmon for world markets, adding up to 880 million pounds. But Alaska's catch could get swamped by the wild salmon projected to come out of Russia. TradeX, a global seafood supplier based in British Columbia, reports that a harvest of 300 million salmon is expected from Russia, topping 1 billion pounds. Much of that Russian-caught salmon will compete with U.S. fish. Last year, the U.S. imported nearly 38 million pounds of Russian-caught salmon, valued at over $14 million. Yet Russia has not purchased 1 pound of any U.S. seafood since 2014. Meanwhile, TradeX President Rob Reerson says even more wild salmon will be added to the pack from other nations.
Globally, a veteran wild Pacific salmon expert we spoke to projected an estimated 930,000 metric tons of Pacific salmon to be harvested from all countries, including Canada, Japan, and Korea, in 2021.
That adds up to 2 billion pounds of wild salmon on world markets this year. But the numbers for wild-caught salmon pale in comparison to farmed fish, which now captures nearly 74% of the world's overall salmon production. Salmon farmers, led by Norway and Chile, are expected to produce nearly 6 billion pounds. And global reports say farmed and wild-caught combined are not expected to come near satisfying the world's demand for salmon. Find links at AlaskaFishRadio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to today's Island Messenger. So, to jump right into it, let's talk a little bit about the weather. Here at present in Kodiak, it is fair, 35 degrees Fahrenheit. It's nice out. For the remainder of this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high near 38, a west wind of 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, a 10% chance of snow showers after 4 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 30, a west wind around 15 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. It's going to get a bit windier over the weekend. For Saturday, a 20% chance of snow showers before 10 a.m., mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 35, a west wind of 15 to 20 miles per hour, increasing to 20 to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 30 miles per hour. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 29, a northwest wind of 25 to 30 miles per hour with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 42, a southwest wind of 10 to 15 miles per hour, and for Sunday night, a chance of snow before 1 a.m., then a chance of rain between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 36, a southeast wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the evening. Chance of precipitation is 30%. For Homer, a few clouds in the sky right now, 33 degrees Fahrenheit. For this afternoon, a 20% chance of snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 34, a northwest wind around 5 miles per hour becoming west. Tonight, a 30% chance of snow after 4 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 23, west wind around 5 miles per hour. For Saturday, a 30% chance of snow, mainly before 7 a.m. in Homer, cloudy then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 32, a north wind of 5 to 15 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Moving on to Anchorage, 27 degrees Fahrenheit and partly cloudy for this afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 31, a calm wind. For tonight, a 20% chance of snow after 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 15, with calm wind. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, with a high near 30, north wind around 5 miles per hour. It is Friday, the 26th of March of 2021. The sun rose today at 7:53 a.m. It will set tonight at 8:38 a.m. and it will rise tomorrow at 7:50. That's 12 hours and 45 minutes of daylight with a gain of 5 minutes even. The record high was 54 degrees in 1924. The record low was 3 degrees in 1975. For district tides, a low tide occurred at 7 a.m. of 2 feet. There will be a high tide at 1:05 p.m. of 8.7 feet. A low tide again at 7:37 p.m. of negative 0.6 feet. A high tide at 2 a.m. of 7.9 feet. And a low tide again at 7:45 of 0.9 feet. West side tides in Eugenic Bay. A low tide at 7:46 a.m. of 2.7 feet. A high tide at 1:49 p.m. of 18 feet. A low tide at 8:09 of negative 1.5 feet, a high tide at 2:32 a.m. of 18.5 feet, and a low tide at 8:26 of 0.4 feet. Synopsis for the North Gulf Coast and Kodiak Island waters of Cook Inlet. A trough that extends across the northern Gulf this morning will continue to persist through Sunday morning. From Marmot Islands to Sitkanak, a gale warning for Saturday. Today, a west wind of 25 knots, seas to 7 feet. For tonight, a west wind of 25 knots, seas to 8 feet. Saturday, a northwest wind of 25 knots, increasing to 35 knots in the afternoon, seas to 12 feet. Saturday night, a northwest wind of 40 knots, seas to 13 feet. And Sunday through Monday, a southwest wind of 35 knots, seas to 14 feet. For the Shelikof Strait, a small craft advisory through Saturday. Today, a west wind of 25 knots, seas to 5 feet. Tonight, a west wind of 25 knots, seas to 6 feet. For Saturday, a northwest wind of 30 knots, gusts to 50 knots out of western bays and passes, developing in the afternoon, seas to 6 feet, building to 9 feet in the afternoon. For Saturday night, a northwest wind of 30 knots, seas to 8 feet. And for Sunday, a southwest wind of 30 knots, seas to 8 feet.
Domestic and sexual violence harms our collective humanity. These assaults devastate victims, hurt family and friends, and diminish the lives of perpetrators. Respect is a choice we make to respect ourselves and respect others. Join Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center in a social media challenge to promote community wellness and raise awareness of the impact of domestic and sexual violence. To find out how to participate, find KWRCC on Facebook and help us show that Kodiak chooses respect.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
KMXT is supported in part by Orion's Mountain Sports, featuring equipment, clothing, and footwear for your outdoor lifestyle. Orion's Mountain Sports, located at 1247 Mill Bay Road. Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the March 26th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. Spring. The time of year in Kodiak where the weather is even more fickle than normal. Fickle or not, spring is slowly gaining on winter. I found a leaf on a strawberry plant that's been buried under a snow pile for weeks. New beech grass is starting to poke up, crocuses are blooming, plants on the cliffs are starting to show signs of green. Birds are starting to show signs of spring, too. I saw a male goldeneye practicing his courtship maneuvers the other day, tossing his head farther back than you would think it could go and fluffing himself up to be noticed. Male scoters are more, well, scotery lately, swimming around in their funny little dodges and dashes, making a big fuss in the water around the females. I heard a bunch of happy little birds in the sun the other day. I'm not very good at identifying birds by sound, so I was happy to see that the college has a series of birding workshops coming up, including one on identifying birds by sound. There are classroom by Zoom workshops and walkabouts called Birding the Local Hotspots, where you'll get field experience in the company of other birders. Take one workshop or take them all. They are scattered throughout April. The field excursions are limited to only 6 people per outing, so don't wait too long to sign up. Go to kodiakcollege.asapconnected.com to find out more. Galley Tables is celebrating the end of the season by posting a story a day starting tonight at 7 p.m. and going through April. Enjoy a variety of stories from the past 7 years, stories that will move you, make you laugh, maybe even make you cry. You'll find a new story on the Galley Tables Facebook page each evening. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.